This is CliffCentral.com.
Powerful thing. I mean, it's got a lot of firepower. If you can figure out a way to wrestle that fear, to push you from behind rather than stand in front of you, that's very powerful.
Multiplying leadership. Moving society the millennial way.
But you don't want to end up going after goals and dreams and neglect yourself.
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau.
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff.
See, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
Youth Leadership Platform.
All right, welcome to another exciting episode of the Youth Leadership Platform. And as per usual, you're chilling with your host, Bongani Tau, and it's at Simply Bongani across all social media platforms. It's quite a challenging period in time in South Africa and the rest of the world, really. Issues around safety, especially for women. It being Women's Month and a month where we're supposed to be celebrating excellence and a lot of women thriving within different industries. I mean, coming from a place where patriarchy dictated that women can't be equal to men. But, you know, the strides that have been made, the use of social media, the use of all media platforms that has catapulted the change to women rising to power should have been the focus of discussion, should have been the focus of a lot of conversations in the world. But instead, women are dying and being raped and committing suicide. And it's weighing heavy on society. It's weighing heavy on the rest of the world. And I guess as the Youth Leadership Platform would like to show our solidarity with all parties involved and parties affected by what's going on. But on a lighter note, we bring you distinguished, accomplished women today in studio and obviously Youth Leadership Platform style. We always look for the best of the best of the best. And today we're joined by 26-year-old Renelwe Maleka, who's going to tell us a bit about her history. But just to give you an idea of the caliber of women that I'm sitting across from in the studio today, she is an admitted attorney working as a second-year commercial associate at one of the biggest law firms in and around Sandton. She's got a BA in law, LLB degree from the University of Pretoria, and a certificate of, okay, let me get this right, securitization from the University of Cape Town, right? That's the woman to my left, well, diagonally to my left. And then to my right, I have Jean. I do not want to butcher the surname, so I'll leave it for now, and she'll tell us right now. She is the country director of We Connect International, and she continues to sit on a board of the Junior Achievement Africa and has been chair since November 2016. And she's also, so this is from an African point of view, but from a worldwide point of view as well, she sits on the chair of the Junior Achievement Worldwide Board. Guys,
I'm not the chair, but I sit on the board.
You sit on the board. If you can come close to your mic there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Awesome.
Great.
Yeah. And she has set up her own consultancy practice as well, called Win-Win Africa Solutions, which utilizes basically her extensive knowledge that she has gained in her 10 years in the African mining sector. Ladies, welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform. Thank you for taking the time out from such busy schedules to come and be with us. And shout out to Zeketelo for putting this show together. We didn't mention that on the last episode, but she keeps pulling through and doing the most. But welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Honored to be here.
Let's start with your personal journeys. Where did you grow up and what's background? Let's get a bit of background. Now they're contending us. Who should go first? Renelwe, you are going to go first.
Okay. Renelwe is from Pretoria in Attridgeville. I grew up there. Funny enough, I went to an art school in high school. Studied drama, studied a bit of design. But when I had to decide, because of my financial background at home, when I had to decide what I had to do, obviously it had to be something that I love, but it had to be something also that would make me money, right? And also just better my position, financial position at home.
Sure.
And so I decided to do law at the University of Pretoria.
Okay.
But I began doing BA law because I wanted to do more than just law. I think I've always been a social scientist. I've always just, social problems have always been something that's close to me, right? But then again, as I mentioned, the money factor was always there. So sure, I did my BA law and I went on to do my LLB at the University of Pretoria. Hmm. Yeah. And then 2014, that's when I graduated from my LLB. And in 2015, I did my first year at the law firm that you just mentioned.
That's in and around Sandton.
The top law firms. And I did my, so what happens with these law firms is that you have a litigation rotation and a commercial rotation. So I did my litigation rotation in 2015, 2016, my commercial rotation. So that's basically when you do your articles just before you admit it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then at some point you have to choose if they do decide to retain you as an associate, where you want to practice or what practice you want to carry on with. And I decided to do commercial law and specifically banking and finance. And now we're here.
Wow. Okay. We're going to get more into that as to what you're doing now and what that position entails.
Okay.
But we're going to jump straight over to Jean. And I'm going to ask you to pronounce your surname for us for the benefit of everyone. And then we're gonna get into your background.
Yeah. So it's Jean Chawapiwa.
Okay.
So I'm a Zimbabwean.
Awesome.
Born in Harare.
Oh, no Taura Shona.
No Taura.
Alright.
And but I didn't grow up in Zimbabwe. I actually left at the age of 8 with my parents, went to live in the UK. Grew up in the UK, studied business studies. So I went to my father and said, I want to do fashion designing.
Interesting.
And he said, black people don't make money in fashion designing, so go and do something else. So I did a diploma in business studies, then went back, gave my diploma to my father, and he says, okay, you can now go and do fashion designing.
Sure.
So I started a degree in fashion designing. But into my second year, I decided I really wasn't enjoying this. It wasn't what I thought it would be.
Okay.
There was just too technical, too much pattern cutting, too much, and it wasn't for me. Plus, the teachers were not on the same wavelength with me. So I felt they were destroying what I felt was my creative style.
Sure.
So I left, went back to marketing, studied marketing, and then I started working. My first job was actually at British Telecom in the UK, doing marketing. I did a variety of posts there where I did events management, branding, etc. Had a fantastic career. By then, I had met a South African young man who'd also grown up in the UK. We got married, had my first child in the UK, then came to live in South Africa. My first job in South Africa was at the CSIR.
Oh, okay.
And I spent amazing 7 years working at the CSIR. Where again, I was doing marketing and communications. I was introduced to stakeholder management, where I did stakeholder management. And they also introduced me to working in Africa. So my first portfolios of working in Africa happened at the CSIR,
mm-hmm.
Working in first in Southern Africa and then a little bit in West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
My career did so well that I became the MD of communications the CSIR. After a very hard road, we'll have a coffee.
Yeah, of course.
I was then approached by the mining sector and moved across to the mining sector, where I then did another 7 to 10 years. So I actually worked for 3 different mining companies.
Mm-hmm.
First Placerdome, then Barrick Gold, then Rio Tinto.
Mm-hmm.
And I left Rio Tinto now 5 years ago. By then, I was Vice President of Communications External Affairs for Africa.
Wow.
So I've seen a lot of Africa. I actually counted the other day that I've worked in some way in 19 African countries.
Sheesh.
During my working career. So I love the continent.
Of the 50 countries, I've only been to 2.
And I'm catching up to do another 10 very shortly. So
Yeah,
love the continent.
Wow.
There's a lot of opportunities here. Delighted to be having the conversation to bring more women into the marketplace.
So, ladies, what are some of the challenges in your journeys placed, obviously, by the rule that put men ahead of women? And how have you then overcome them? What's the secret? What are some of the tactics and advice that you can give?
I think the first one is you've got to dream big.
Okay.
I think in my career, I achieved probably higher than I dreamt, but I remember from a young age, I dreamt big.
Okay.
Nobody said to me, dream big, but I always thought, you know, I'm gonna do well. I'm going to be big. So dream big. Don't let anybody contain you.
Hmm.
For me, I was raised to work hard. So I'm the oldest child.
Deputy parent,
yeah.
Pretty much.
You know, get everybody else's homework done, etc. And that stayed with me. So wherever I landed, that came through. You work hard. You make the best of yourself. You create and create and create. And for me, that's why I feel I rose through different portfolios. Because you surprise people, but what you can bring forward. There have been many challenges, but I think we actually need to look at them as opportunities.
Okay.
Because, there's obvious ones like, you know, you're a wife, you're a mother,
mm-hmm.
You're picking kids up from school, but you've got board meetings, etc. to do. So, for me, I brought people along to help me. Have teams that can help you. At one point, I had 2 people who helped with my children.
Hmm.
It was for a short period, but it helped me to focus on my job where I needed to be able to do that. There's obviously family and other people who help. The other thing is, I think when people are putting you down and telling you you're not going to go far, play no mind to it. Just keep going. We are as good as the man on the other side of the table. And sometimes we are better. So they try to tell you, you know, you're black. Oh, you're not only black, you're dark-skinned black.
Sure.
You're a woman. You know, you're this. You're a Zimbabwean. But, you know, you just excel. You work hard. You excel. And I've been very fortunate. I've loved what I do.
Sure.
I really love what I do.
Renelu?
I think it dates back to when, or how I grew up rather. So I grew up very close to my brother, and my mother's side of the family, there were a lot of, you know, my cousins were mostly male, and it was always been a challenge for me to want to, you know, do better and show them I can do the same thing. I can do exactly the same thing.
Sure.
Just because you get more time to do this while I have to do certain chores, you know, it puts me at a disadvantage, but still do it with that disadvantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so every decision I have made has been purposeful. So when I decided in varsity, we had this thing in my final year where the Pretoria Bar gave certain people an opportunity to do this program. It was 2 days. And from there, they would, you know, basically offer people, don't you want to do pupillage under me, whatever. And people who know me know I love speaking, and they know that there's one thing I was going to do is go into advocacy, right? And be an advocate.
Sure.
And I loved it. And this, you know, one of the senior advocates, they was like, don't you want to do this? And it was a thing to do at the time, because it would have been what I would have loved to do, right? But I thought to myself, this is where they want to keep us. And by they, I mean white people. By they, I mean males, sure. you know, because you do get a lot of female advocates that are coming up and stuff. And I was like, if I'm trying to break a market, it's going to be in corporate sense. And that's why when I decided to choose, and by then I had already gotten an offer to do articles at the firm in science. And I was like, I'm going to do this. It might not be the most exciting thing for me now, but I'm going to learn and I'm going to do this. And so came my first year. As I said, we have two rotations. I did my mm-hmm. litigation rotation, and litigation is exciting, right? So you get to court and you get to meet the counsel, and there more than anything, I loved it because I got to work with black people. I got to work with women, right? And then I did my commercial rotation in 2016 in banking and finance. And you know how banking and finance is still very conservative. Mm-hmm. It's your old white man, you know, giving the instructions, and that's the kind of people that also want to work with. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, and it's very challenging, and there's all these words I don't understand, and you know, it's all going above my head, but I was like, this is where I need to be. So again, purposefully, when it came the time, they were like, we're offering you articles, I mean, we're offering you to be an associate, where would you like to be? And I was like, I really loved litigation, and I was good at it, I was great at it. But then I said, I need to be here, because more than anything, this is where there's the least of us.
Sure.
In the year that I've been working, I haven't really seen a woman. Mm. And then even in that, in the team, banking and finance obviously has different divisions. There's project finance, acquisition finance, and then there's debt capital markets, which I decided to go into because even now in the 3 years that I've been, I have not worked with a black woman. Hmm. This is corporate South Africa.
In 2018.
In 2018, and I haven't. And so I think one of the things that I did was to be purposeful. The decisions weren't always easy because it wasn't always. I could have decided to go for a more comfortable approach.
Sure.
I could have decided to do something that I love and I know I would have been great at. But I knew that I had to work hard. I knew I had to put in extra hours. Mm-hmm. I knew that there would be sleepless nights and sometimes feeling like I'm a bit stupid because I don't get this. But I knew I had to push because that's where I have to be. And, you know, it's not easy decisions. But I think that's one of the things. Again, as Jean already said, it's dreaming big. And going for it and working hard, because all the talk and everything else is all well. You know, we can all say we're powerful in this and tweet whatever we do, but we need to actually, there are some people who need to get down and do the dirty work and do the work that no one wants to do. And so that's what I went into when I decided to go into capital markets.
Hmm. Jean, you wanna rise on what Renelio has just alluded to?
Yeah, I mean, I can't hear anything. My speakers, so I'm assuming I'm coming through.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Great. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think we have to prove ourselves.
Okay.
And there's really nothing wrong with that. When you're given the opportunity, rise to it. And really rise to it. And I completely agree. We have to go in the fields where there are fewer women. So for me, going into the mining sector, you know, you are often the only woman in the room. Often the only black person in the room, but don't be afraid. You know, there are a lot of people out there that want us to succeed, and you've got to identify the people that want you to succeed and work with them. And for me, find those people. There's a lot of people that will help you to succeed. And sometimes it seems scary. I mean, I would be in the DRC or in Guinea, and
sure.
then I'd be thinking, what am I doing here? But you get up in the morning and you do the job. You show up. You are a professional. You show them that you can do what you need to do.
Hmm.
So I've worked with acquisitions and mergers and mines that are in productions and mines that are not in production, and I learned something at all of them. So for me, we learn as we go, but at the same time, you bring other people along
with you.
Mm. And that's important, because the only way we multiply the women
sure.
is that we grow other women.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. And I saw that you are very involved with project work that involves building and developing businesses that are owned by women. So would you like to take us through that? And
yeah, so when I left Rio Tinto, I set up my own business, Win-Win
sure.
Solutions for Africa. So we basically doing consulting work in the field that I specialize in, marketing, communications and strategy. And we're helping businesses to find opportunities in Africa, which for me is part of joining the dots. Why did I work in 19 African countries? I can now go back and take people to those opportunities that are out there. I came across a project called We Connect International. We Connect is a global organization that identifies, registers, and certifies women-owned businesses. And the key criteria is that the business just has to be 51% owned, managed, and controlled by women. And they can join. The first level is self-registration, which is online. They go on to weconnectinternational.org and they register. And please, women, register, because this is a corporate-owned organization where the organizations like EY, Dell, Accenture, Johnson & Johnson are the owners, IBM, et cetera, are the owners of this database. And they've got their own passwords, and they go in and look for women-owned businesses. So the whole idea of We Connect was to say to the corporates, don't say we don't know where to find the women-owned businesses. Here are the women-owned businesses. And this organization is actually owned by the corporates. So we identify them, we register them, and then when the women-owned businesses are ready, we do the certification. Four times a year for the certified women business owners, they get a face-to-face with the corporate members. And that's like speed dating with the corporates. You get a chance to pitch your business. You get a chance to sit opposite a corporate member and find out where are the market opportunities. So for me, I would say the matchmaking isn't just about letting them know what you do. It's also about what do you need? What's out there? Where are the opportunities? Because as usual, women miss out on a lot of opportunities because either we don't know where they are or we're going too much to the soft skills. And we've got to push towards manufacturing, and engineering.
Which are previously male-dominated.
Which are still spaces, very highly male-dominated, but there's women that are coming up and amazing women. Women in IT, we have a growing group of women doing everything in IT. So those are the sectors that we really want to promote because women also want to get the $300 million deals. They want to get the deal where they're doing the work not only in South Africa but also in Angola and the opportunities to work in Dubai and in the U.S. African women are doing that. So for us, we're just helping to open the door for women in business, and women in business create jobs. And for me, that was part of the dream, is how do we solve the problems of the African continent? One of them is we need to skill everybody, and we need to create good jobs, sustainable trained jobs.
Now, coming to entrepreneurship, because it's a very taxing and very difficult and dark space to be in for anyone really, and it's a sifter. You know, it's either you're born an entrepreneur or you're not. From you, I'd like to know, what are some of, you know, the preparations that you feel every entrepreneur should go through before they even attempt to start a business, things that they should look out for. And then Rinelwe, in the corporate space, from what you've observed and some of the challenges that you went through and the solutions, or rather the resilience that you've built over the years to stomach some of them and overcome them and assume the roles that you have, we'd also like advice from you to women in male-dominated positions within corporate South Africa as well. What are some of the things that they need to do to prepare themselves to climb? So we'll start with Jean.
Okay, so I mean, you say entrepreneurship can be a dark place. Corporate can be a dark place.
True.
So, and a lot of us who've been in corporate are tired of the dark places and looking for the light in entrepreneurship. So, there's no doubt it's difficult. It has many challenges and many opportunities. I would say the first thing is know what you're offering. So, as part of our promoting women-owned businesses, they have to pitch their business. You know, can you sell what you're actually promoting? You know, what is it you're selling? And really understand that. Be on the constant lookout to how you innovate your business. Don't sell eggs and only sell eggs. How do you innovate your business? Because that's what the market is looking for, is the innovation. So when IBM comes to us and says they want to work with women in IT, they're looking for the people that help them to innovate for the marketplace, for youth, for Africa. So really continually think about how you innovate. Collaborate and partner. You don't have to do it on your own. and we're really working hard to put together collaboration groups where women in the same sector can actually work together to say, we can go for that large opportunity together as a joint resource, rather than me trying to take crumbs from the project.
Sure.
Let's go for the bigger slice of the cake.
Hmm.
And I think continually educate yourself. Technology is a big, big thing.
Sure.
We had our conference on the 1st of June at EY, and it was all about technology. And really, we understood that artificial intelligence is not something for the future. It's now. How are we then bringing artificial intelligence and Watson and everything else into our business offerings so that we can really offer better opportunities for our workers as well as the marketplace?
Hmm.
So I think continually innovate and stand proud. You know,
sure, sure.
We must really stand proud and go forth. Finances is a big deal
in
entrepreneurship. That's probably the darkest hole a lot of entrepreneurs
go into.
Once
you can't get the finances going,
the payroll, you're in serious trouble.
Sure.
So really, again, you've got to think of innovative ways.
Okay.
Making sure you save money. You know, finding the right finance partners.
Mm,
I mean, they're experts in this field. And maybe Refill can give us a few tips. But finance is something you've got to think about really carefully. So I say to people again, don't jump into hiring an office in Sandton.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's an unnecessary expense.
Sure.
A lot of women business owners work from home. You can produce an excellent product working from home. You then meet the client at their offices or in the coffee bar.
Sure.
You know, really keep your costs down, but keep your expertise high and in your innovation high.
Interesting. Wow, Sheen. Dropping pearls of wisdom. Rinelwe. We jump straight to you. We're listening.
I first of all have to agree with Jean that I think corporate is a bit darker. Only because we all know that corporate is infamous for making people go through what they go through mentally, physically, obviously negatively, because of the crazy deadlines, right? But more than the crazy deadlines and even the work that you have is all the personalities that you have to manage. And I think one of the first things that I have to ask for, I mean, that I would say, when you ask the question, the first thing that popped to my mind is a speech that I had heard from our now chairman of the place where I work at, where he said to me, when you guys have to, because obviously when you're in varsity, you have all these offers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have good enough marks and you're a good candidate. You've interviewed well. You have all these firms that are almost the same, right? Obviously they're different with the different cultures, but offering you articles. He said to us, if they're offering you articles, you have to ask yourself, what can the firm do for me and not what I can do for the firm, right? And most of the time, the reason why we have the culture that we have in corporate is because you feel like you need them more than anything, right? Especially in the law field, because what happens is, because of articles, you know that you need to get real retention, you know, for you to become an associate. So if they say jump, you ask how high. If they say bark, you ask how loud. You literally are like the modern day slave, right? And obviously when I'm saying that, what my chairman said about what the firm can do for you and not what you do for the firm, it's going to be a little, you can do less with it when you're in your articles, right? Because as I said, you need to get the paper. But once you are retained, you need to be able to set those grounds. You need to be able to say, I understand that this is the deadline, right? I understand that this is the personality, this is who you are. But for purpose of us working and for us to carry on, this is how I would like for it to work. Most of the time, and I know with most young black professionals, we don't speak out. We'll speak during our drinks. We'll say, oh, this is what happened.
Mm.
But you don't speak out and you don't know how much that goes a long way, because not only do you need me, as you say, you need me for your BE score. Not only do you need me for that, but you need my expertise. I did go to varsity for this thing. I did train. I do believe I'm an asset.
Sure.
I'm not saying, obviously, that's where you get your training. And obviously, I'm not saying have a big head and not, you know, obviously everything is done in balance, but you need to understand that you are an asset to that company at the end of the day. And especially with law, where time is literally money, right? Because how the law firms make money is that if I see you for an hour, I charge X amount. So, and that's how obviously you get to go ahead from associate to senior associate to partner one day, you know, it's the hours that you put in. Because as I said, you know, there's with corporate, there's all these things. It's not the work that you are being given. It's managing a personality of X who doesn't like the skirt that I'm wearing. right? Mm. As a man, there's no problem. Oh, no, you might be wearing, the skirt might be too short. We sing X Bank and they don't like this kind of thing, right? Mm. It's oh, I heard you got engaged. I hope you're not planning to get married in the next few years because you know we've got the deal next year. And it might sound like just pettiness, but it does impact you and how you grow. Because wow. What happens is, if I do fall pregnant now, sure, sure. Right? I'm going to have 4 months maternity leave. That's 4 months off. And they do apportion it in a way that apportion it your budget because you have a budget, right?
Oh, okay.
And you have to reach that budget in order to go through the various from associate, senior associate, partner, and so forth. And if I'm going to miss those months, I mean, you can already imagine as a guy, you don't have to go through the same thing, right? And even mm-hmm. after that, it's like, okay, now she has a baby, she has to nurse, so she needs flexi hours, she needs to be out by 5. The clients is, especially, and I can only speak about my experience, especially in bank and finance, whereas with litigation, you know, okay, court closes around 4 o'clock, so there's not much you can do after
that, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
When banking, I need to be able to call you at 9. So if you're a woman wow. who's nursing, I mean, honestly, I know we're trying to be fair and everything, but let me rather just get a male person to work on this deal because sure. I know I can have him, I can speak to him at 10 p.m. and he'll be available. Mm. So it's just stuff like that and realizing that you can speak out on those things and just pushing the people who have, you know, the people who can make decisions about these things. Obviously, there's not much you can do, right? Because the person who will get, especially on a junior level, the person who will get the job is the partner. But just be able to speak out and say, listen, I feel like this kind of thing, we can actually move to this date. I feel like it's unfortunately, I can't put it in a sentence because for me, it's like all the nitty gritties in terms of like my day job, right? Me knowing that this is not necessarily as important or this is necessarily, you know, I can push it to the next day or something like that. So it's just understanding your space more than anything, asking for help. And especially because over the last few months, especially with the awareness on mental illness and stuff like that,
sure,
like,
sure.
Actually getting help if you feel like the pressure is too much, getting help, because you get people who want to reach these targets and they're not sleeping and our immune systems are not the same. More than that, we're not from the same family backgrounds.
Sure.
The burdens that we carry and our responsibilities are not the same. My responsibility to the other white man might not be the same. So just getting that kind of, you know, knowing that you have access to help when it comes to mental illness and stuff like that, I think
it's
sad that you have to look at stuff like that, but I mean, that's the corporate world and that's the beast that it is. And just knowing your worth and asking for help, I'd say, if I had to summarize this.
Interesting. I want to introduce a phenomenon in philosophy and politics. It's called the male gaze. And it's operational in a lot of industries, right? Because obviously men, for the longest of times, have dictated what should be and what shouldn't be. And what the male gaze is pretty much is how we do a lot of things and structures and systems that are set in place. Are set from a male perspective. So everything as it's set up right now is not necessarily suited for a woman. Now, I'm introducing the male gaze because what I want to ask as a question now is, how can entrepreneurship from your side, Jane, and corporate South Africa on your side, Ney, be adjusted now to accommodate women? Because I feel how it's set up right now, it puts so much pressure, and obviously it allows the certain kind of discrimination that exists to still exist because it was originally set up for men. So how can entrepreneurship be adjusted to accommodate women, and how can corporate South Africa as well be adjusted to suit females or women, sorry?
Okay, so let me start saying about around entrepreneurship. One of the reasons I got really excited about WeConnect was I heard a statistic that said women are responsible for 70% of purchasing decisions globally.
Gee.
70%.
An economy on its own.
It's an economy on its own. Mm-hmm. So if we are responsible for 70% of purchasing decisions, that includes influencing your husband not to buy the BMW, but buy the car that the baby's going to be safe in.
Interesting.
Instead, we don't use that economy for ourselves.
Hmm.
We are not using that economy. Imagine the impact we could make if we start saying we want to buy 50% woman-owned products.
Hmm.
So there's a couple of organizations like Walmart, etc., that are actually starting to experiment with having aisles where they'll have women-owned products and see if women will buy more.
Okay.
But unless you know this is I'm going to buy a jar of coffee here, and it has nothing to do with women, and this one is actually got, is from a woman-owned company, you don't know. So we want to know which are the women-owned products. So under We Connect, we're actually helping women to label their products and their services, because we can change the game significantly ourselves, mm-hmm. as women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we start to do that, a lot of the males will come along with us. Because if Procter & Gamble know that 70% of purchasing decisions are going to be made towards the woman-owned product, guess what they're going to do? They will shift. So we need to take hold of this economy and help ourselves. To me, the same argument almost lies to the African continent.
Sure.
Mm. You know, why aren't we saying we're going to buy African? Mm. We're going to buy Africa. You know, we have certain campaigns that say, you know, brand South Africa thing, but I don't think it's strong enough.
Sure.
So for women, we need to be a lot stronger. We can change the male gaze,
mm-hmm.
because we then become the decision makers. But until we take that power, we can't. The other things I think we need to do is, obviously, we then need to have the products. If the products are going to be bought from women-owned businesses, then let's create the products. We need to have women-owned banks that help to finance women companies. We need to be able to innovate and do the things that we want to do. I think women are very innovative, but often we either don't have the help to get moving into where we need mm-hmm. to go to, or we're afraid.
Yes.
Because people say, you know, entrepreneurship is a dark hole. So we get afraid. So we've just got to keep moving.
Sorry, okay. it's interesting that you mentioned that. Sorry to cut you on your tracks.
No problem.
I had a conversation with Phuthi Mahanyele, mm-hmm. who's chair of the Sigma Capital
awesome.
Group. And what you know, when we were having conversations, she spoke about how a majority of the people that come to her to ask for funding are men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what's happening with the women? And you mentioning fear, I guess, is one of the elements that came up in the conversation. But how do we then help them to overcome that? Because as much as it's difficult, but I mean, men and women are capable of resilience.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I think we feed each other fear. So women tend to take fear more literally. You know, the boys are, as young boys, told to jump off the roof and, you know, do crazy things, okay. and you're wheeling okay. your bike and doing.
Okay.
So they're a lot, they're almost being de-risked in some ways.
Interesting.
In the games they play. Hmm. Whereas girls are told, be careful, be careful, be careful. So we need to raise our ladies to not be afraid. Yeah. Don't be afraid of the door that slammed in your face. Hmm. It's okay. The next one will be wide open. So, and I think the people who have the capital also need to help us not to be afraid.
Okay.
'Cause at the moment, we feel everything is against us. And sometimes you're in a situation where you think, I don't just feel it. I know it is.
Sure.
So we need to change some of those things around where we open the doors. But I think also we need to own the banks. We need to,
yeah,
you
of
know,
course,
we
of
need
course.
More putties around who.
I mean, Dr. Judy Lamini.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. there are women and very powerful women out there running amazing businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in the network that I'm working in, we're finding women really do support women. And I think Rufiwa touched on the fact that we naturally help each other, but we need to take that help to another level. You know, we need to put $100,000 on the table and say, I'm going to back your business.
Wow.
Let's get going.
Sure.
And then it's $1 million on the table. I'm going to mm-hmm. back your business. Let's start manufacturing. Good. The women are going to back your business. Mm-hmm. I don't have the statistic in my head, but I know there's a lot of women that are doing banking already. We have money in the banks. Mm. And through different schemes, I belong to a women's savings club where we've got money in the bank and buying property.
Oh, interesting.
So
wow.
Women okay. are doing amazing things. We just need to keep taking it to the next level and taking it to the next level. And do it and doing what we need.
I see the ladies in the studio taking notes. Yes.
Women, I mean, yeah. single women are known to raise
a kid or kids from just saving the little bit that they have.
Sure, sure.
In terms of
my
spending
mother was
risk.
One of them.
Yes. Exactly. So, yes. I mean, I'm only just shaking my head so hard because it only makes sense when you think about people who save the most, when
sure.
you think about people who build homes and not people who are known for spending. Yes. You think of women, so.
Yes, yes. And we need to make sure the banks understand that we want our money to do certain things for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we must speak up.
Interesting. Renelo, corporate South Africa, as a you know, someone who's in law, right?
Yes.
An attorney. What do you feel are some of the changes that need to be introduced to cater to you as a woman?
So, and I was thinking about this question when you asked it, and I thought, do you know, the difficult thing with being a lawyer or being in the law firm is that you basically get the instruction, right?
Okay.
There's probably a bank who has a client, a firm that they, and obviously I'm speaking about banking and finance.
Sure.
Because that's what I do. They have a client that they're funding. That client has certain instructions and they have certain things that they want. The bank will then have certain instructions and things that they want, right? And then only do they pass on the instruction to us. And so for the longest time, you know, even when I entered into the field, I thought, but why doesn't this change from the top? Why doesn't this change from our clients? Why doesn't the client say, we need more females to be working on this? Why doesn't? I realized that that's almost like a futile exercise because the corporate structure is the way it is for as long as it is because people are comfortable with it being like that, right?
Mm.
The fact that it's male-dominated, the fact that it's white-dominated, it's comfortable for other people and it works for them.
Sure.
So that's why I will go back to, and it touches on what Jean said about fear, right? Mm-hmm. I will go back to purposefully going into the spaces and breaking into those spaces, right? Where, and I don't have the stats, I can only use my experience, but
sure, sure.
When you think about most of the female people in the banking side and in the banking law side, you think of people who are doing retail banking, so that's the normal clients.
Yeah.
You know, you're not thinking about people who are in working on the transactions where the millions are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that's one of the things that we can do specifically. There's certain things we can lobby for, right? For example, in my firm specifically, I could be like, you know, there's not a need for me to be there specifically where I can work from my laptop, especially because I'm in banking finance.
Sure.
There's not too much client communication. Therefore, I am able to work while I'm still nursing my child, and therefore the deadlines won't be too unrealistic. But I
yes.
feel like that's on a very basic level. I feel
sure.
like the only way in which we can change the system the way it is and make sure that we are actually in those transactions that are big, you know, the acquisitions that are happening around the world cross-border, make sure that we're in them, is that we need to be in those spaces. So I need to be able to put on myself and say, this looks like it's a hard thing, but let me get into securitizations because I see when I look at the deals, it's billions of rands, it's trillions
mm-hmm.
of rands.
Mm-hmm.
I might be comfortable doing something like a normal 10 million rand acquisition, lending and borrowing deal, but that's not going to do anything for me and the generations of the women that are going to come after us. I think we've been trying to lobby for changing of policy. I think that can still be done, right? But I think the only way we can actually change it is if we ourselves. So I do encourage, as Jean has said, pulling these people with you. So when I do go to varsity, to the different universities, and we try to recruit students, I'm like, get into this type of thing. Yes, you would probably enjoy this, but it's saturated,
mm-hmm.
right? And they expect you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Go into this. It might not be interesting in the beginning, but it's going to be worth it because these people aren't listening to us in terms of changing the policies.
Sure.
We can only change them if we're actually in that position to change them.
To change them yourselves. Wow. Let's welcome on the line Liziwe. Liziwe, are you there? Hello, Liziwe? Oh, there we go. Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how's it?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform. I'm going to kindly ask you to speak up. But before then, just to give our listeners a bit of background about Elizio. Elizio is an economist and currently worked as a consultant at Africa's largest economics-based consultancy. She is also the founder of the website Malkia Space, a blog that focuses on personal and professional development of black women. Liziwe, thank you for joining us on the Youth Leadership Platform.
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, I mean, your credentials speak for themselves. You are a very distinguished and very accomplished woman. But not only that, you have dedicated your life, at least at this point, to developing other black women. So take us through what your aims are and what you're currently doing with your platform.
Look, I'm at the point in my career where it's quite early, but I've always kind of felt that whatever opportunities you may or may not receive, you should always leave the door open for everyone else is coming up behind you. I think the reality of the country is black women, for the most part, are the most economically disenfranchised group in our country, and that's a big part of that is because of our history.
Sure.
And I think, you know, over and above my own personal professional aspirations, I just think that the face of corporate South Africa has changed. And that's not necessarily meaning we need to enter into traditional corporate spaces. That also means women who are starting their own businesses, women who have, you know, other interests. The face of business and the face of this economy needs to reflect the fact that the black women make up a majority of the South African population.
And definitely.
Really, that is something that I find to be very important.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so with your platform, what are some of the projects that you are currently undertaking to address some of these concerns and issues within South Africa, like you've mentioned?
Yeah. So look, I think for me, I wanted to create a space that encompassed everything about what it means to be a black woman.
Okay.
And what it means to be somebody who identifies or chooses to identify as a woman and a black woman. And really just to show us as whole people with full lives. So we are involved and cover all sorts of aspects, including health and beauty. We include discussions with professionals. You know, we want to create a space in which black women can feel free to be their whole selves.
Mm.
And I think that the kind of dichotomy that not only black women, but women in general find themselves in of either being, you know, you're one thing or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be all-encompassing. It's beginning to change, but it's not changing at a pace that we want. And I think, you know, the challenge for not only black women, but black corporates and black professionals in general is that we often feel we can't bring our whole selves into the spaces that we occupy.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just a platform to kind of discuss and engage on some of those challenges. You know, we write a lot of pieces about personal experiences of different individuals within corporate spaces, or even just young black mothers and what that means, what that looks like, how that feels.
Wow.
The politics of black hair, what that looks like in the space that we occupy and what that feels like and what it means.
Sure.
And so that's kind of the lens through which we want to look at things, and I'd like to approach and build a platform. I think it's still, not even I think, it's still relatively new, but I think created quite a lot of value for the people who engage with us.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that. I think Renelwe, I see her nodding her head that she's she wants to be part of this. So what's awesome. The name of the website and how can people reach you?
Sure. It's the website is malkiaspace.com.
So www.malkiaspace.com.
Okay. And I am available on all social media platforms. You just search for Liz Winters, I'm the only Liz Winters you'll find. So people can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. Look, I'm usually quite good with responding to DMs on questions and stuff, so people can feel free to reach out to me at any time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time out and joining our conversation on the Youth Leadership Platform. All the best with the platform.
Thank you
and
so much,
awesome. That was Liz Iwe. And the website and the platform that she's created is www.malkiaspace.com, and that's Liz Iwe Ntleza across all social media platforms. So you can look out for her. And I guess be part of that very amazing movement. We're going to be joined by another distinguished guest, but I'm going to revert back to my studio guests for now and say from the conversations or just listening to what Lizzie was speaking about, I picked up and think in being in corporate South Africa at some point in my life as well, that as black people now, to be specific, the corporate structure and culture does not really cater for black people. So when you go to work, you have to be somewhat a completely different person than when you're at home. And that poses as a challenge because you can't grow, because now this is a foreign environment to begin with. You want to work. you there's so much to acclimatize to, which presents as a problem, right? And an impediment. What can you say to that?
So the first thing, and as she mentioned it, she was mentioning the politics of hair and whatever. And Thandiswa Mazwai's song popped up where she says, my hair's political, my body's political. Literally everything's political. And it's things that you cannot run away from, right? And as I mentioned, I work with clients that are quite conservative. So if I have something like what would be deemed an extravagant hairstyle, because I don't know, it's not tamed or whatever, it is something, and it might not be something that's mentioned, you know, up front. Sometimes it is something that's mentioned up front, that, oh, we're about to go to that meeting, don't you want to quickly tie your hair? You know, and obviously not everyone's the same, and it differs from client to client, but it's even in the small things. Like, I remember we were having a conversation about how opportunities that you get from high school, they go all the way through when you work, right? So you could have been, we could have both been in the same varsity, got an opportunity, great marks, but something as small as a tea break with a client's meeting where we're talking about something that you did in Craven Week.
Oh, yes.
Craven Week, if I'm from Patudi High School in Attridgeville, I know nothing about Craven Week, right?
Of course, sure.
And so, for example, if I've had this nice conversation with this client on this one lunch, and he has another transaction, he'd obviously want to keep me on, right? And so that, for me, is when I was shaking my head, it's those little things that you now need to learn. Now I need to learn certain things. What is something like, things like satire and sarcasm are not an English thing.
Sure.
It's satire. It's satire because of what it is, right?
Sure.
But you need to learn certain ways to speak. You need to learn certain types of jokes. You need to learn certain idioms, whatever, just to get through, because the conversations during the lunch breaks weigh more than that, and actually the work that you are. And that's the thing that I'll keep on saying about corporate, or at least corporate essay, is that it's managing people's personalities all the time. And that affects your work, and that affects how big you grow. Literally, from a 15-minute break, I now get the next deal, or I just don't, and then I'm just not used anymore, and that's where my career ends.
Wow.
So,
Jean, do you have thoughts?
So the first thing I want to say is, you know, let's not corporate bash completely, because there's some amazing organizations out there that are really trying to help.
Sure.
Whether you're a woman or, you know, black male, there are some organizations out there that are really trying to help. And also, you know, we are starting to break through into leadership,
sure,
into a number of corporates.
Okay.
You see black faces, you see black women. So are we changing those organizations when we get in to help the masses?
Okay.
And it's something we need to really think about and discuss and talk about. So when I think about the other African countries I've worked in, where it's not corporate white faces, but it's corporate black faces. Are the cultures really any different? A lot of them aren't. So we almost take this work culture with us into a lot of organizations,
sure,
whether you're in Zambia or Guinea, wherever. So I think it's your generation have an opportunity to think about, what do you want to make it? And how do you want to make it? What does corporate Africa look like in 20 years' time? What do you really want it to be? And then start shaping and having that discussion. You might not change anything. Maybe what you'll do is just change the faces, but you don't change the culture.
Interesting. We have another guest on the line, and she is a pilot. This is Buitumelo Kadisi. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform, Buitumelo.
Good day.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. I think because of time, we're celebrating women, and we're talking about adjusting certain spaces in where work and entrepreneurship is concerned, to help women thrive. I guess what we want from you at this point is having, this is a male dominated industry and it's still white males, especially in the piloting industry, but you've come this far. We want your advice to someone, to your younger self, someone who's starting out, who has dreams, but is told, well, not in this industry or that industry, try a different industry.
Okay. Well, obviously, as the youth, I mean, they're into such an industry, but as you said, like, just to broaden it out, you need to have faith in whatever you're passionate about, because there are going to be challenges on the way. Thing is that with the youth of today, they expect everything to be given to them.
Sure.
Or everything to be kind of easy. Like, truth is, it's never easy. It's never easy. You're going to go through, like, the most. I mean, in my industry, there's so much that we go through. And it's all about you as an individual. Are you that passionate? Are you, do you have so much faith that can actually keep you going throughout the course?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'd just like to encourage them to never give up. Because the moment they give up, it's probably the moment that they could have actually experienced their breakthrough. So they should keep going, no matter how hard it goes. Just remember why you started.
Well, thank you so much, Boitumelo, for joining us. Ladies, because of time, our conversation will end here. But thank you so much for coming through, and thank you so much for being part of this conversation. How do people reach you on social media?
So I'll plug WeConnect, weconnectinternational.org.
Okay.
And we've got everything, the face, we're on all the platforms too.
Awesome. So it's weconnect_SA, right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Renele?
I'm not big on social media, my handle at Miss Malika on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instagram and other.
Don't have Instagram.
Oh, okay, awesome.
As I said, I'm not big on social media, but yeah.
So it's at Simply Bongani for my personal one. Let's continue the conversation there. Ask your questions. Who do you want to have on the show next? What are you enjoying about the show? What do you think we should let go of? We like your feedback, and we love producing content that you gain the most from the Youth Leadership Platform. It is good day and goodbye.
This is CliffCentral.com.